Welcome everyone to the Wolfgang English Podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero, and I'm joined today by my good friend Guy Trengove. Guy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm feeling very good. Let's just put it that way.
Tired, I think we all are, right?
Very good. Yes. Absolutely.
So today we're obviously going to discuss the second leg, 1-1 against Palmeiras. If you watched the game, I don't know why you watched the game, because on the last podcast I said the game would end 1-1 and we would win on penalties. And that's exactly what happened. So I warned you guys. No, I'm just kidding. Wow. What a performance from Boca, more so defensively than offensively. Guy, just tell me your thoughts right off the bat. What were you feeling when we went through to the final?
I honestly could not believe it in a sort of sense, because the last 15, 20 minutes, Romero was just getting shot after shot after shot.
Yeah.
At the goal. And I thought one of these is going to go in. There's no way that he's going to hold out for 15 minutes if this is happening every minute and a half, 2 minutes, because it was just shot after shot after shot after shot in the last 10, 15 minutes that it was just hard to believe. But thank God he did it. And see you later, Palmeiras.
Yeah, they were really piling up the pressure on us, especially in the second half, especially after we scored. Let me go out and just read up the lineup first. We had obviously Romero in goal, Advíncula, Figal, Rojo, Fabra, in midfield Medina, Paul Fernandez, Eki Fernandez, Colo Arco, and up top Merentiel and Cavani. So pretty much the lineup that we predicted last week. We said, depending on Rojo and Figal's health, maybe Valentini goes in for one of them, or Almirón opts for five at the back, adds in Valentini alongside Rojo and Figal, and takes out Merentiel. He went with the same exact 11 as he did in the first leg, but the approach was obviously different. It wasn't going to be the same. We weren't going to be the protagonists. Palmeiras was going to have significantly more possession. And just taking a look at the stats, they had 68% possession. Meanwhile, Boca only had 32% possession. Let's dive into the first half. It was, again, a game where Palmeiras held on to the ball, but really didn't threaten much. And Boca was really banking on the counter. I don't exactly recall. I don't know if you can remind me, Guy, how the goal came about. I don't know if Palmeiras lost possession and somebody passed the ball over to Merentiel, who drove past Gustavo Gomez, the Paraguayan defender who almost signed for Boca 5 years ago. Merentiel drove past them. Just crossed the ball to Cavani, who ended up scoring. Made no mistake there, like he did in the first leg. But what were your thoughts on the first leg when the game started, my friend?
Just one thing. I know you joked about it, but we got a lot of things right. You said 1-1 penalties. I said Merentiel is going to be decisive against his former team.
Yeah. Lelex, I think we said.
Yeah, I mean, he still belongs to them, so that's it's just so predictable. And I also said when I did the BBC World Service interview, I said look out for Advíncula. His second leg performance was so strong, strong, crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a whole, we kept our shape. I don't know if you realize, but for large portions of the game, Palmeiras kept moving the ball sort of like in a U with all the unmarked players. So the ball kept going between their defense and their wingers and back around through the defense and their wingers. They really couldn't find a way through. And Boca was moving pretty well. We kept our shape for a majority of the game until in the second half, obviously. With Rojo's red card, Almirón sort of dropping the ball there. Let me touch on that really quick. We all saw Valentini going in, right? We all said Valentini's going to go in. Okay, excellent. This is a given. He's going to take out Marcos Rojo, who has a yellow card. Palmeiras is piling on the pressure. Rojo could lose his focus, as he always does, going for a rough challenge, as he always does. Doesn't really care if he's booked or not. And he's going to get red. So this is excellent call from Almirón. He's going to take out Rojo, put in Merentiel, and that is not what happens. He takes out Merentiel. He opts to go completely defensive And he leaves Valentini on with Rojo and Figal at the back. And I was like, oh my God. When did that happen? That substitution was at the 68th minute. No, I'm sorry. Valentini came in. It's saying, at least FUTMOB is saying that Valentini came in after the red card. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. Rojo got the second yellow, right?
Sorry. I'm confusing Valentini with Bruno Valdés. Bruno Valdés came on for Merentiel. That was a substitution.
Okay.
We all thought Bruno Valdés was going to come in and replace Rojo. That's what we all thought. At least everybody who was watching the game with me. But Bruno Valdés instead replaces Merentiel. And 2 minutes later, 10 minutes later, Marco Rojo picks up the red card.
That's so predictable, that as well.
Right. I mean,
so predictable.
We really couldn't complain. The double booking was fine. I think the referee for a majority of the game had a pretty good affair. There was one challenge on, was it Barco? Somebody from Endrick. Endrick should have, from Palmeiras, should have gotten sent off as well. There was a challenge where he went with his studs up, really high leg. I don't remember if it was on Barco or on who, but that should have been a red card. Apart from that, the referee just really didn't have much work to do. He was pretty fair.
Also, I felt like he went, as the game went on, he sort of lost a bit of authority, really. I know it's Copa Libertadores semi-final, second leg. Of course, it's going to be a bit niggly. It's going to be a bit tetchy, feisty, whatever you
want
to call it.
With the fans, too.
Yeah, of course. But I just felt getting towards that 75th minute, 80th minute, it was stopping every 30 seconds, wasn't it? And it wasn't because it was going out of play.
Yeah, lots of challenges. Well, lots of challenges in the second half and the final 30 minutes. But I think Boca did well to hold on. And you obviously highlighted this just before. Chiquito Romero was crucial with some fantastic saves. Of course, he probably should have saved the one ball that actually went in. It was a bullet of a shot. Really, really nice shot. I think there was a slight deflection on there. He got a hand on it, but I think he could have done a bit more. But it's okay. We'll forgive him because on penalties, he made no mistake and saved two balls. Any other thoughts on the game? Anything else you wanna highlight?
Let me have a think.
The substitutions were fine for the most part with Valentini coming on for Rodrigo. No, the substitutions weren't fine. I don't know. I mean, Almirón, it's just the one thing that we keep highlighting. His substitutions just aren't, they're just not good. He took out, first he put in Valdés for Merentiel, highlighting that he wants to go all out defensive-minded. Merentiel was one of our better players. He's the one that assisted, of course. And then he takes out Barco, probably our second or third best player on the pitch, and puts in Valentini. So, I don't know. I'm not too sure. Is Almirón's thought process, I mean, the setup was right. I like the setup. If we're going to go ahead and sort of preview the Libertadores final, which we'll do in a couple of weeks, not now, but if we're going to quickly take a look at that, one can almost guarantee that it's almost going to be the same lineup to play Fluminense.
Totally.
Of course, without Rojo at the back. And I would pray to God it's Valentini replacing Rojo and not Bruno Valdés. It was funny. I was watching the game with a couple of Paraguayan friends, and they were all excited with Bruno Valdés coming on. They were laughing, and me and my brother were just shaking our heads like, oh, my God, this guy can't be coming in. He can't be coming in right now.
That tells you everything, doesn't it? If you've got Paraguayan people laughing at their own player coming on.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't played for the national team. Yeah. He hasn't played for Paraguay in quite some time. But they knew just how bad he is. I mean, for Boca, he's been atrocious. I would just hope that in the pecking order, Almirón has Valentini over Bruno Valdés. That's really all I hope.
If he doesn't, he needs to get fired now.
we can't ask for resignation ahead of a Libertadores final. We can't.
No, of course not. But if he can't see that Valentini is perhaps one of the best centre backs in the Argentinian division at the moment. He's lost.
Yeah,
he's lost. Valentini has the potential to be so important for Boca, not just in the final, but in the next couple of years. I mean, provided he doesn't get sold to somewhere in Europe or in the United States. Valentini has just gone from strength to strength. We touched on him a couple of weeks ago, or just before, when we thought perhaps Figueroa was not going to make it into the...
Yeah, I think lineup. That was the... our last podcast.
Yeah,
we said Valentini needs to be Valentini.
He's just so strong.
Yeah, no. He's I agree 100%. Defensively, he's solid. He's a tough player to beat for attackers. And he plays very well with the ball. If he can really pick out a pass very well. I want to touch on our midfield, which I think Almirón. Has found our midfield, right? I think that is the best we can offer with Barco on the left, Medina on the right. But Medina on the right doesn't mean he's running up and down the field sort of like a winger, because he's not. He gets very involved in the middle. Eki Fernandez and Paul Fernandez. Paul Fernandez, props to him, played a very good game. Eki Fernandez as well played a very good game. Eki has this ability, and we touched on it last podcast, to just defensively just keep recovering the ball. He's just so, so good. And again, really, really good with the ball at his feet as well. He had one clearance, four recoveries, ground duels won, 4 out of 9, 44%. He only committed one foul, so he's not a defensive midfielder who's dirty and commits a lot of fouls. He really doesn't. He's just so good at winning the ball back and just moving it forward. But what do you think of our midfield? My point of view, I think, again, it's the best we can offer. I think it's what Almirón likes. It's paid dividends on the pitch. If we can perform in the Maracana how we performed at home, especially at home against Palmeiras, I don't think anybody can really write us off, right? It's a final. Nobody should really write us off like the one journalist did on the BBC show that you did. You can't write Boca off, team with a lot of history. You just can't write us off. But what do you think of the midfield?
Medina didn't have his best game, did he, really?
No.
He didn't really impose himself on the game like he has done the last few months. Obviously, he's been alongside Barco. He's been the key player. But he really didn't impose himself. He didn't have his best game. Do you know what? I thought during that game, imagine if Varela had also stayed on till December like Barco.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It would be a completely different story.
Yeah, but it goes to show that we have players to pick up the slack if one of our other midfielders just aren't performing at the best. It's not that Medina had a poor game either. He just sort of went unnoticed. He was just there.
Yeah.
If we still had Varela, obviously he'd be playing instead of Eki Fernandez. I'm always upset when one of our biggest talents leaves for Europe. You never really want to see that, but. Varela was excellent at his time with Boca. I think Eki Fernandez is a perfect replacement, and we're doing okay without him. Anything else you want to touch on, my friend?
I don't think so. Those penalties, perhaps.
Did you have any bit of doubt when Cavani missed the first one?
I said to myself, when Cavani missed, I said to myself, it's going to be difficult, but Romero still hasn't had any shots to save. So he's definitely going to save one, or two, or three, or four, or five. So
he saved two.
Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, fantastic. He's one game away from, for me, he's one game away from becoming a Boca legend already, I think, just because how crucial he's been.
Yeah, and obviously we want that for him because he's our player. But I think if you take a look at Chiquito Romero's career as a whole, he's been backup almost at every club that he's played for. He has a World Cup final to his belt. Unfortunately, wasn't able to win that World Cup. But I think his career deserves a major trophy like this. Obviously, it would be with our club, which is awesome. But I think Chiquito Romero deserves it. I'm not going to lie. When Cavani missed the first penalty, I said to myself, all right, I'm a little nervous because Weverton is a great goalkeeper too. To save a Cavani shot is pretty impressive. But I said to myself, Chiquito Romero is definitely going to save one. Likely two, but definitely at least one. If you could just save the first penalty from Palmeiras, then we're really back in this. That's exactly what he did. Thank God he did. So props to him. So we have the Copa Libertadores final in Brazil at the Maracanã, Saturday, November 4th. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a pretty early afternoon game. 4 p.m. is what my app is saying. I don't know if that's accurate or not. But we're playing Fluminense, Copa Libertadores, 2023 Copa Libertadores final, Saturday, November 4th. So pretty good kickoff time for those of you in Europe. Me and my brother and a couple of wacko friends are trying to do the impossible and maybe find some sort of flight to watch this game in Brazil. That would be awesome. Very unlikely. Otherwise, I'll be going to Manhattan, watching the game with a bunch of Ojteros over there, a bunch of Senesas over there.
Extremely short notice as well. Yeah, it's going to be difficult, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were looking for flights, and they're $800, $850, $1,000, $1,200. I was speaking with one Brazilian friend who's a Flamengo fan. Her father's a Fluminense fan, and her father was giving her tips to give me to try and get flights to go to Brazil. So it's definitely going to be tough, very unlikely, but we'll see what we can do. This Tuesday, we're away to Belgrano domestically for Copa de la Liga. And then we have Sunday, October 15th, quarterfinal? Yeah, quarterfinal of the Copa Argentina against Talleres.
Yeah, in Mendoza.
That's in Mendoza. I was just going to ask. I have no idea where that game is being played. But those are our next two matchups, Tuesday, October 10th, away to Belgrano, and then Sunday, October 15th to Talleres, Copa Argentina. Anything else you want to add, my friend? I know this is a short podcast. We're only recapping the Copa Libertadores final, so we'll probably be back in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, definitely previewing the Libertadores final. Anything else you want to add, my friend, before we close this one out?
Don't think so. Faura, oh my goodness.
You play good.
Yes. Play good. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe my eyes.
He played good through faking an injury on the pitch. Wasted a lot of time to get Saracchi on. So we'll take it. We'll take it. Everything counts. But he played good. He played good. Anyways, that'll be it for this week's podcast. Guy, my friend, thank you so much for joining me. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time.